We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Brewers fans, thank you for making the switch after the last pitch to this show. Welcome to the Bayview Shade and Blind Baseball Postgame Show, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag Admirals50. Now, live from the Fan Postgame Studios, here's the franchise, Tim Allen, and Bill Baby Tausch Schmid.
It is a final, the game in the series, and it didn't end well for the Brewers. A 5-3 loss in Game 3 of the three-game set in Oakland. Welcome, everybody. Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag Admirals50. Tim and Tausch, a takeover on a Thursday. And another heartbreaker. Two of the three losses, just sort of heartbreak fashion. And who raise your hand if you're going to pin this one on Craig Counsell and his bullpen management?
Me, I will. But then again, Tim, the opportunities and the guys that I was thinking would have been in that eighth inning instead of Josh Hader for a third consecutive day for the first time in his career was going to be like Matt Albers, Alex Claudio, maybe Freddie Peralta. Freddie Peralta's gotten touched the last couple of times he's been out. It wasn't a great situation you were in, but I don't know what the thought was. Was Josh going to go two?
No, I think they were setting it up for Freddie to go the ninth. And this again, it's compounded by the trade deadline yesterday. And I guess we're picking up the pieces there. And it is my only concern was throughout the trade deadline that you didn't get a closer.
Yeah, you didn't get a guy to bridge the gap to be the one that Hader is getting you to. You just got guys to bridge the gap to Josh Hader usually.
Yes, and this is proof that Josh Hader is not your closer by definition because he can't, it appears, go many back-to-backs with large degrees of success. Or, in this case, back-to-back-to-back with any success at all. I mean, this was, and those of you following along at home the last few years on this show, we've warned you, we've thrown out the caution flag there, and it was, if you're going to get Josh Hader, you get him on the first pitch. And Chapman did that in the eighth inning.
Yeah, jumped all over it after a long walk, a drawn-out at-bat to Robbie Grossman, where Josh is throwing a lot of sliders. It just doesn't feel like Josh was all with it today.
It's slow paced, and I can tell when he's in slow motion here that the results typically aren't there.
Different pitcher when he's not going, getting the ball, throwing it. Much like we saw from Jordan Lyles yesterday. And
yes.
I think that was maybe what Craig Counsell and everybody was talking about. Yasmani Grandal said it in the paper a couple of days ago before his start yesterday. He said it, I believe it was Rosiak had the article, where Yasmani was already watching film with Counts and Hookie, and they were finding a couple of things that they thought Jordan Lyles made him successful. I think getting the ball and throwing it right away, getting into a rhythm, is that thing. You just got to be able to keep the hitter off balance. And I think the best part about Josh Hader is the hitter is already uncomfortable when he's in the batter's box with Josh Hader. Jump on that.
Grip and rip.
Grip and rip and make him even more uncomfortable.
You heard from Lorenzo Cain last night about that. He said, hey, it was good pacing. It was quick pacing. We like that. And you got the same thing today from Chase Anderson. Chase deserved a better fate today. The Brewers overall deserved a better fate today than the 5-3 loss. But
well, did they? Because they left 10 runners on base.
Yeah. You knew it's Homer Bailey. This offense is a heart attack offense for me. It just is. And again, you and I both agreed weeks ago that the offense is what it is. There's not much you can do.
Yeah, it's not changing it up. Outside of bringing up Trent Grisham, who right now, Jeff Passan said it yesterday when he broke the news that he was going to come up. Arguably, your number one prospect is Trent Grisham, just because of the stupid numbers he's put up today. They reward that in the organization by bringing you up here inside of a year.
And he gets his first RBI in the big leagues, comes up hitless in this one, but the Brewers fall 5-3. Josh Hader, put into the game in the eighth inning. To make matters just, and that will just call right now the correction of the game with Milwaukee County House of Correction, because that is highly in question, as Josh Hader has put into the game. But is it made worse on the eve of the Cubs series? Now, again, in a pennant race, here's where I'm torn on this bullpen management today. You want to win today's ball game for sure, in the midst of a pennant race like this. But do you take a peek ahead after going with Josh Hader back-to-back? And by the way, in his back-to-back-to-back, he's pitching all three of these games. He struck out one batter. So you knew maybe a rest was warranted for him, but you're on the eve of the Cubs series at Wrigley Field. Would have been nice to have Josh Hader to go in two of those three.
I just don't understand if today, out of all days, last year I was very upset in Game 7 of the NLCS when it was the first time in the year that Craig Counsell decided that was going to be the game when Josh Hader pitches when you're losing.
Right.
That was the whole essence of Josh Hader. Once the lead was the Brewers, you knew Hader was going to be unleashed quickly and soon. And today, to be in a situation that he's never been in the beginning of a nine-game, nine-day road trip, when you're going across three time zones...
And you have a shot to win the series?
Really doesn't make much sense to me.
To kick it off? Now, I can't wait to hear from Craig Counsell. We're going to hear from him coming up in just a bit. Bullpen management, is it...
We haven't had one of these shows in a while, though. I'm happy.
Is it fair to pin this one on Craig Counsell
at
414-799-1250?
Yes. Yes, it is. I believe it fully is fair, Tim, because of what they set themselves up for in this situation. They set themselves up to be second-guessed when you pitch a guy. When you put somebody in a situation that is probably not one that breeds success for that player.
He's not your regular closer. Guys, he's just not. He's not deployed in the proper usage. I don't know what to tell you. 24 saves. Don't get me wrong. That's pacing to, upper 30s, close to 40 if this team gets on a run. So you can't argue with that number right there. But you can't argue with decisions like this. And you, by the way, it's compounded a little bit more, and I hate to move backwards because I had intended today to talk about, forget about the deadline. We're in a pennant race. Let's move forward. But it is compounded by moving arguably your top prospect in Mauricio Dubon, or one of, at least, I think is fair. And Jesus Aguilar, your all-star from last year, for some pitchers, and two of the three you didn't use today. In fact, two of the three aren't even on the big league club. So
when they made the move for Jake Faria, let me know what you thought. My first reaction was, oh, they just traded for Jacob Barnes.
Another Jacob Barnes.
A guy that's going to go back up and down. And optionable, I think that's the key word in here. We used controllable. But optionable, I think, is the biggest one here, Tim, because they haven't been in a situation where they've been able to use that 25th man roster spot to their advantage, bring a guy up and down, and circulate it. Remember the seat backs and tray tables up in the upright position, and you're on your way to Colorado Springs. This year we thought it would be San Antonio. They just haven't had that kind of movement because they don't have utilize it to a strength like Counts did last year.
And Junior Guerra gives up a run on a hit and a walk in his one inning of work today. Jeremy Jeffress is one of the more uncomfortable situations you can be in when he's in the ball game. Alex Claudio, for some reason, was banished to Siberia over the series, so he wasn't allowed. He was grounded. So you have some bullpen issues, yet you just made a couple of trades to bolster that bullpen, and the bullpen bites you today. Is it on Craig Counsell? 799-1250 as the Brewers fall 5-3. On the good news front, Christian Yelich, a 19-game hitting streak. Trent Grisham, the rookie for the Crew, wearing number 2. He comes in. That's always important to me as the jersey number.
No doubt. It has to be.
And he gets his first big league RBIs and big league RBI. And Chase Anderson, he does pitch another stellar performance today. I mean, you can't argue with what Chase Anderson. So the complaining or griping about the starting pitcher not acquired, starting pitching has been pretty darn good. It has been. 799-1250 to take a break here. Josh Hader gets touched up for a couple of runs again in the eighth inning today. Matt Chapman on the heels of a full count walk that Josh Hader just did not, it didn't appear he was super comfortable himself in this ball game. Back to back performances for Josh Hader. Was it the right move for Council? We'll discuss more here on The Fan.
Pitching is nearly everything in baseball, but it doesn't always go as planned. Let's see who got lit up tonight. Sponsored by Heiser Automotive. Today's your day. Online at Heiser.com.
I think the bullpen is getting lit up here as of late. Don't you think Josh Hader is getting lit up a little bit too much? Jeremy Jeffress is getting lit up a little too much. Junior Guerra, can you get your stuff together, please?
Seriously. I thought Junior Guerra was going to be the solution in the rotation. I thought he was going to be one of the guys that gets slotted in.
Guys, Josh Hader got lit up, and David Stearns, man, I'm talking to you.
Oh,
you knew. You knew what you needed, and that was a closer, and you knew you needed a closer 2 months ago, and you had some value in your farm system, and I don't buy this. Oh, someone's got to be ranked last in the farm system in 30 teams.
Yeah, someone's got to have the worst.
I don't believe you didn't have any sort of value to get a closer this year. That would have changed the entire landscape of everything. And you're subjected to Craig Counsell just spinning the bullpen wheel of doom.
How surprised were you that it was Drew Pomeranz and Ray Black when Robert Murray breaks the story and he goes, a significant deal, sending Mauricio Dubon to the San Francisco Giants. Right away, my head goes to Madison Bumgarner. I'm like, well, they're going to have to bring more pieces with them.
Right.
Okay, well, it was rumored that it was Will Smith. Will Smith, all-star closer. Sweet. You go one for one, Will Smith for Mauricio Dubon. Granted, you got Phil Bickford for Will Smith, and I thought Phil Bickford was going to be the,
right.
the new closer
right.
of this team. Phil Bickford, I don't believe, has seen double A yet. But in that situation, I was like, sweet. All right, you got the deal done. Okay, we're going to go for strike, swing and miss guys and control ability and option ability.
This is simple. It was one guy. The offense, a little more complicated. That's more complex.
And you made the move. You got a move in here to try to bolster the offense, give yourself a little bit more. It comes from within as these
sure.
teams opening a window of sustainable success are going to do. The Cubs brought up Baez in the heat of a pennant race. The Cubs also brought up Addison Russell to play big, meaningful games in September. They did the same thing with Ian Happ, Albert Almora, and these great teams do. Look at the Houston Astros. They've brought up guys in the middle of playoff races, expecting them to be major league players right away.
And you see it this year with the crew here, with Keston Hira and Trent Grisham now. And whether Grisham is here to stay, we'll find out. But you got to like it.
We haven't done this in a while.
Yeah, spin that bullpen wheel of doom. Who does it land on now? Jeremy Jeffress? Well, it landed on Taylor Williams because he got a free flight. Yeah, he was out. So get in there and utilize what you have the way they're supposed to be used. And today just was, I don't know, man. I think I got to pin this one on Counts. I think I do. I know that you wanted this game. And I get that. And
it was evident by the decision.
Yes, yes. But sometimes you have to kind of police yourself. If you're a manager in baseball, you have to resist the temptation of doing that. You choose today of all days to go ahead with Josh Hader. For a number of reasons, it was the wrong move. It was back-to-back-to-back. We'll start right there. You're on the eve of the Cubs series. Which game is more important? I know they're all important. And I get it. This head-to-head pennant race, they're all important. But what's more important, the Oakland A's or the Chicago Cubs?
The Chicago Cubs, Tim.
By far, way more important. You've lost now, Josh Hader, at least until Sunday. You're in a one-run game in Chicago tomorrow afternoon at about this time, and it's a one-run game, and you're stuck with who you've got. And it might be Jeremy Jeffress, and there might be balls flying into the basket tomorrow.
No.
It could be.
Oh. Where was Alex Claudio in this series? Like, that was my question. Alex Claudio made all the sense in the world to me to get the run. Like, that was the idea. Okay, cool. This will be Alex Claudio's game. Alex Claudio needs needs to pitch. It makes sense. It just didn't make sense for today of all days to be where Craig goes against his own philosophy of saying Josh's arm is different than everybody else.
Yes, we have to maintain a certain schedule with him, and to get the most production out of Josh Hader, this is the way we have to handle him. Much like you got to handle Ryan Braun in the same aspect. Much the way you handle Lorenzo Cain in that realm. So he goes against that today, in my estimation. We're going to hear from Craig Counsell coming up in just a little while. But
should the Brewers have swept this series, Tim?
They're so close. 3-2, 4-2, 5-3. Offense, where are you at? And that could be intertwined in this as well. Brewers 0-10 with runners in scoring position.
This is a bad loss.
Is it 1-9 or 0-10? I don't know.
1-9. Ten men left on base.
Yeah, 10 men left on base. 1-9 with runners in scoring position. You get the bases juiced with nobody out. You're one swing away from breaking this thing open and running away with a series victory against a very good Oakland A's team.
And listen to who had the at-bats with men on base and runners in scoring position. More importantly, Ryan Braun 1-3, Mike Moustakas 0-2, Eric Thames 0-2, Christian Yelich 0-1, Orlando Arcia 0-1. Out of all of those, as weird as it's been, Orlando Arcia probably has been the clutchest out of all of those guys.
But in this series,
those are your horses, Tim. Those are the guys you want in run producing roles. Braun, Thames, Moose, Yelich, and they can't come up with the big hit. Chase, out of six innings and one run ball, he deserved a much better fate than he got today.
I can't figure it out with this offense. I cannot, for the life of me, figure it out. Why are these names not scoring runs? I'll credit the other guys only so much. But why is it that when we give up runs, when the Brewers pitchers give up runs, well, that was a good pitch. He went down and got it. And then we don't get that.
You were going against Homer Bailey today.
It was Homer Bailey with his 80,000 ERA.
And Homer Bailey is the worst return on investment of all time. And that also counts in the dude that just put $100,000 on the 76ers to win $2,000 in Las Vegas.
I'm more aggravated. Again, I know it's a bullpen conversation today. I'm more aggravated with the offense more than anybody. I don't understand how these guys, David Stearns, you put these guys together to match that park, all these left-handed bats, and you brought up another one. He's helplessly, hopelessly in love with left-handed hitters, solely sometimes because they're lefties. Why? How about contact hitters? I don't care whether you bat left or right. Put the bat on the ball. You're lucky to get the one run you did in the seventh inning because you had a wild pitch in there. You have the bases loaded with nobody out, and no one can get a base hit. The other guys get a broken bat base hit. The other guys get a base hit on a jam job, knuckle sandwich. The other guys get a base hit off the trademark and off the end of the bat. These guys, doesn't happen. Why? Grandal, when did you stop hitting on us? One of the best, if not the best, hitting catcher in the National League. Quit. We'll give him credit. He draws walks. He's a walk machine.
Yeah, look at his on-base, .375 on-base percentage.
I'll pat him on the back for that.
It's almost 120 points higher than his batting average, now at .256.
That's like a struggle every time they get in a big situation. I don't understand.
You want to know when Yasmani Grandal stopped hitting?
All-star break.
About the month of July. In the month of July, he hit .233. In the month of June, .241. .321 and .271 in the first 2 months of the season.
I don't know.
You all right?
No. 799-1250. Let's get these guys.
What's the deal? I thought you're Smile Milwaukee guy.
Not
today with Josh Hader, apparently. Joe's in Racine. You're up on the Fan, Joe.
First damn pitch, too. If these guys, hey, Josh, I'm going to tell him that, too. I'm sorry. When next time I see him, I know we're buds, but I'm going to tell him, dude, waste the pitch against the sluggers. Waste the pitch against guys with thump because they get you on the first pitch, if you haven't noticed. Sorry, Joe.
This is Joe and Rossini. Somebody.
Sorry, Joe.
No, I really enjoy your enthusiasm here. What I have to say is Hader another Danny Cole, Frankie Rodriguez, Axford, just another guy that burns out?
No.
Why would you say no?
He's not utilized the way they want to use him. He's utilized the way they have him in there out of necessity.
So they throw him in there, and I agree with you. He should be a 7th and 8th inning guy. And Danny Cole got hurt and blah, 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 blah. But, or Knebel got hurt, sorry.
Yes.
What are we going to do? I don't, in the offense, yeah, they just stink. I tell you why. Do you see how they swing? Do you see how Eric Thames swings? I mean,
hard.
That is like, that is like a softball guy in a drunk league.
He's going to go into professional softball. You watch. Home run derby softball.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah, yeah. He's just going to be like 290,
perfect.
Just raked up,
perfect,
crushing taters at
all
Tropicana.
All righted up, and just knock it a million miles.
Well, probably not.
He's been tested quite a few times, actually.
799-1250 offense and Hader. I mean, that's our conversation today. A tough one.
And you're more frustrated with the offense than you are, Josh.
I really am.
Are you more frustrated with the offense than you are with Craig Counsell?
Just the decision today. You know, mainly I got his back. I do. I think Counsell's a good manager, and I've been very vocal about that. But today, I don't get it. That one I question, and I know a lot of other people do. At 799-1250, Brian, you're next on The Fan.
Yeah, I want to say that I want to watch every single pitch for the rest of the season. And the Brewers are done, and that this is all on David Stearns. He didn't get us the pitching that we needed for the trade deadline. I mean, he needed to get a close, and he didn't. So the Brewers are done because we didn't get any pitches that we needed.
All right, Brian. Thank you. So he checks two boxes. He checked the box that he's not going to watch every pitch for the rest of the season, and he checked the Dunn Club box.
Yeah. So he handed his ballot. He's done.
We have another Dunn Club member.
Awesome. Can't wait.
799-1250, Rick.
Can we not get as many more Dunn Club callers?
Yeah, this is Rick from Oshkosh.
Yeah, I
no
just
way,
said
Rick.
Your name.
Yeah, we said your name. Rick, yeah. You're on the
okay.
radio.
No,
don't,
yes,
not today,
I
Rick. No, just don't. Just go and get it off your chest, and we can move forward.
Oh, Dave, if I was for a manager, I would never put Josh Hader today. He got 3-game series with the Cubs tomorrow, which is more important to win 2 out of 3 there. And you used him today, and now he's not available tomorrow or Saturday. And that move is plumb. Doesn't make any sense. And I've been a council bachelor, and I'm still going to be one. And Stearns is in my doghouse, too, for not getting a closer, a second
uh-oh.
One.
You don't want to be in Rick's in Rick's doghouse.
That's a
dangerous place. Appreciate it, Rick.
Yep.
That's a scary place.
So he checked the I'm a council basher.
And Stearns is in the doghouse.
It's in the Oshkosh doghouse.
Where are you crossing off on there? Is Stearns in your doghouse?
No.
Is Craig Counsell
not at
in
all.
Your doghouse?
Not at all.
Not after this?
No. The worst, they will be, pending a tie tonight, which I don't think is going to happen, they're going to be 2 games back in the NL Central heading into Chicago.
And just hand that game you got back. You got from the Cubs this past week.
Got to get it right back. 799-1250. Offense or Hader or the bullpen? I shouldn't pin it all on Hader either. So, bullpen.
No, because the Hader thing to me, Tim, it's kind of out of his control. He was put in a position today not to succeed.
What was he supposed to say? No?
I'm not going to go out there. I'm not going to go out there with us with the lead. But to change your philosophy at this point in the season, I get there's plenty of time left, but this is more of a sprint now to the end line.
52 left.
This is the time when you do start pushing yourself a little bit more. But we are only on August 1st.
And headed into a 3-game set against the Chicago Cubs.
And then you got to go to Pittsburgh. Like, this isn't just, you don't have an off day tomorrow. You don't actually have an off day for a week.
Right.
So factor that in, then factor in the amount of travel that you got to do, then factor in you're going to play the first place team this weekend.
The way they've baby caked on Josh Hader over the last couple of years, he should have been on the flight with Zach Davies to Chicago to get ahead of the team.
They should have just said, you know what, you guys go hang out, Josh, go play some Fortnite. Get yourself ready. I hear the Dirty Heads are playing over at the House of Blues. Go enjoy yourself. Get ready to go. You're not pitching tomorrow.
No.
No, so you're not pitching on Friday. Don't worry about that mess. We'd like to have you for Saturday and Sunday.
And we've got a couple of left-handers available. Paul Morantz and Alex Claudio. Yeah, 799-1250, a rough one today. Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag Admirals50 as the Brewers fall 5-3. It was a two-run shot in the eighth inning given up by Josh Hader as he goes his first career back-to-back-to-back. Does that define a closer? We'll talk more next on The Fan.
In every game, there's a moment when you say to yourself, are you kidding me? Here's the Gene Wagner Plumbing, are you kidding me? Moment of the game. A company you can trust. GeneWagnerPlumbing.com.
Do we want to hear it and punish ourselves?
Well, you're on a roll today, so we might as well.
Okay.
I like the intensity that you have today. I also like the anger
sometimes,
that you have today.
Sometimes you just enjoy pain a little bit. At least I do.
It's why, like, you know that it hurts because you just turned off the stove and you see the rings on the stove are still orange. You know it's going to hurt, but I wonder if it's still hot.
Yeah,
you got to touch it.
Just touch it. So look out. Don't play with fire. You might get burned.
Here's Matt Chapman going after the first pitch and a fly ball. He's back in the center field. Kane going back, and it's out of here. Matt Chapman to dead center field. He was one for his last 30.
Oh, come on! Really?
And he breaks free at the worst possible time for the Brewers.
I did not know that.
Okay, that's enough of that.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
I did not know that. I was doing the big show in here. I see Matt Chapman hit the homer. I'm like, well, I guess Matt Chapman's a slugger. Yeah, dude's good. He was in the home run derby. Makes sense. I didn't know he was one for his last dang 30 at bats.
Yeah, first pitch to Chapman.
Just sitting on that fastball.
We're going to hear.
Just sitting on it.
Oh, man.
Leaves it out a little bit over the plate, no doubt. Yasmani was setting up outside, trying to dot the outside corner with a low fastball, 96. That's good spot. Josh left it over the plate.
And you have a little bit more of an issue in this ball game. Those of you just getting out of work and you missed it.
You didn't miss much.
One-run game and Josh Hader going in for back-to-back-to-back games for his first time in his career. Chapman touched him up for a home run, but it was the batter before that. I have just as much of an issue with that hitter, Robbie Grossman. Nothing against Robbie Grossman. I'm sure he's a good dude. I'm sure he's got great parents and family members and the whole
deal. You
think
he's related to Rex Grossman?
Good bet.
Sexy
good Rex or bad Rex?
Oh, bad Rex.
Okay.
But hey, Rex is our quarterback.
Goes to 3-2 on Josh Hader. And works a walk. He wasn't swinging at a 3-2 slider. There's no way he was going to.
No.
He was standing there. You might have been standing in there to draw that walk on 3-2.
And you know me, Timmy. I'm swinging anytime I'm in the box. Like, I've taken, I think, 14 at-bats this year, and I think I've seen 16 pitches. So I'm not waiting in the box for anything.
And we're trying to sort this out whether or not.
And I'm sitting on the curveball 3-2. You know what? No, just throw that slider. I'm just going to stand here.
Yeah, I'm going to look
cool. I'm going to wiggle my butt and make it look like I might be doing something. Maybe I'll turn. I'll do a Tim Allen. This is the favorite, everybody. So whenever Tim Allen is mad about an at bat, what he's a. You know what I would do? What I would do is I'd be standing in their batter's box. I'd be shaking the bat, acting like I'm bunting, waving it around.
Yes.
Shaking my butt at the guy, doing any kind of signal I could. And you know what happens then? You get Derek Dietrich and thrown at your head.
I don't know about the head, but rib number 4.
Right there in the butt. You saw where our boy Jared Hughes hit Marte? Right there, right in the keister. That's where you're catching one.
That's where I would get it. But first pitch, someone needs to give Hader a heads up. For as much analytics that are flying around the game of baseball these days, someone show that Josh, you get hurt on the first pitch, and you are in the highest of leverage situations that you can possibly be in the game of baseball. He is the guy that's in there with the game on the line. And I understand that there will be some heartbreak. When you're in that position in the big leagues, there's other dudes getting paid a lot of money to hit you. And they sometimes they will. But don't do it consistently on the first pitch. We discovered this a couple of years ago. An Anthony Rizzo, of all people, home run. First pitch off Hayden.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a little bit of an issue. Might want to waste one.
Well, Rizzo's been an issue, that's for sure.
Well, he is an issue, and he's going to be an issue over the weekend.
I despise that, man.
Three-game set.
Really just do. I know he's a great guy, beat cancer and all that stuff. I just don't like him. I despise him, actually. I vehemently do not like him.
Hey, speaking of which, I forgot to talk about this. I ran across in my notes the other day. We need to get on a little bit of a campaign when the Brewers are at home here at Miller Park. I know they're in the middle of a road trip here.
Right.
Brewers fans in the front row, when the Brewers are hitting and there's a pop-up toward you in the stands and the other guys are reaching in to make a catch, like Rizzo did last week in Milwaukee.
Right.
Push the glove away from the ball.
Just shove the...
Shove the glove. I'm not warranting anything like punching him in the ribs, doing a poke in the chest. I'm not mandating any of that. But there's nothing wrong with you following his glove and just grab the thumb of the glove and just push it away.
Rip it out.
Or rip it down. You have just as much right to the baseball as Anthony Rizzo does. So just so you know, I needed to get that off my chest.
That is
going to
be so good. I just hope so. You know who I really hope they do it to, though? As much as I hope that it's Anthony Rizzo, Joey Votto, because I'd love to see that guy go off.
That too.
Like he did on you.
Don't touch him in any way, but just go for the ball and accidentally just push that glove away. I'm just saying. I had to get that off my chest. But it'll be about a week before the Brewers get back home. Some heavy lifting to do over the weekend. They fall today 5-3 final. And the spark of the game in this one. Are we really a glutton here? Do we really want to just hurt ourselves even more?
No. I one cut is enough for me.
Okay. Then let's go with Chase Anderson.
Big time.
Those of you that believe that starting pitching, it starts and ends with starting pitching that keeps you in a ball game. Spark of the game with Current Electric at callcurrent.com. That's Chase Anderson today, 6 innings of 1-run ball. He was dynamite.
And what he also has been doing, Tim, is not only has he been keeping his team in games, but pitcher of the month in the month of July, going sub-3 ERA, he is showing you that you can expect bounce-back seasons, him and Zach Davies. So for what they've done this year, they've kept you competitive and kept you in this thing, right? But also provide hope for those lost. Corbin Burnes could be a comeback guy. Just look at what Chase Anderson has done.
Could be. Indeed. 799-1250.
Maybe Corbin Burnes won't give up 11 home runs and 4 starts.
Too many people talk about regression. Just regression. So let's create a new stat on the show. Regression probability rate. Can we do that?
Yes, the regression probability rate. The regression probability rate of Wade Miley going into the 2019 season was high.
It was.
That is why he was not signed.
The Tim and Taos RPR.
I understand, looking at it from your couch in Menominee Falls, it was a great decision to bring back Wade Miley.
The RPR.
The RPR was not good for Wade Miley.
It just wasn't.
It was not good.
It wasn't. We need to find a way to put that into, you know, Fangraphs has the probability rates of playoffs and World Series.
Yeah.
So regression probability rate from Tim and Taos. There's your new stat, the RPR. Adam in Menominee Falls, you're on the Fan.
How's it going, guys? Thanks for taking my call. I'm just sick of year after year after year just leaving ducks on the pond. With this offense, we should be swimming in Webb's Burgers. It's ridiculous. I remember the 7th game of last year's finals against Los Angeles. It was either Machado or Puig laid down a bunt out of nowhere, and the air just left, and then they gained momentum.
Moustakas did do it today. He did have a bunt base hit today.
That's surprising compared to what we've been doing, but year after year after year, it's bases loaded, no outs, and we're doing nothing. With these bats, with the talent we have, it's driving me nuts. And also, I don't think Hader had any business being in this game today. I love his talent. The guy's going to be phenomenal for a very, very long time. But I definitely think we should have kept him. I don't know how he's not available, how many pitches he threw, because unfortunately I left. We were winning, came out of work, and the game was over. I couldn't believe it.
I want to say it was just under 20. Adam, good call. Thanks for the call.
16 pitches for Josh Hader. He had 10 last night.
Maybe Saturday?
I don't think so. I don't know how. Tim, that's
4 of 5
for a dude that has pitched back-to-back. Like, you can count on your hands how many times he's pitched back-to-back.
1 for 9 with runners in scoring position. For the most part, off Homer Bailey today. And they had him in trouble. And I believe Craig Counsell is going to talk about, well, we had some pressure on him.
And 8 pitches on Tuesday night when Josh also caught a loss.
So the pitch counts are down a little bit. If there's any saving grace here, the pitch counts are down. I think he might be available on Saturday. I'm going to go with yes.
I'm honestly not even expecting him at all in the series. Because, Tim, you also are counting on the fact that you have to have a lead in that that time of the game.
You do.
The Brewers didn't have many leads early in the games this past weekend at Miller Park. They did all their damage in the 8th and 9th innings off of the Cubs. And that's why I'm flying to Vegas tomorrow. And guess what I'm doing all weekend long? Hammering those unders.
That's funny you say that.
It's a Cubs-Brewers series. What is it going to be? 2-1? 3-2?
13-11. In game one tomorrow.
That would make sense right after I just yes, hammer the under.
It really would make sense. You're going to take my cash and make a bet or two?
Oh, yeah, to back your Cub bet that you did earlier in the season?
I don't remember that. I don't recall that.
Oh, you forgot about
Judge,
that one.
Judge, he's out of order.
Yeah, that makes sense.
799-1250. Bruce, you're next on the fan.
You know what the problem is? It's not just the hitting, but it's the manager who doesn't believe Chase Anderson can go more than 6 innings. You give a team 2 hits in 6 innings and you pull them out, you should be canned immediately. It's not just a,
oh, geez.
I'm sorry. If I were the general manager, I would have come on and say, "You're done, Craig. You're done." You know what? I'm gonna tell you why this team's bad. Craig Counsell doesn't know how to manage pitching,
oh, no.
And he's never going to be able to do it. He got lucky last year. Let's put it this way.
Oh.
Now he's coming down to reality.
That's been one of his stronger suits.
That's a bad take, Bruce. Thanks for the call.
Do you realize the names that he's been dealing with and the amount of wins that this team has accomplished?
Give us a couple of those names, Tim.
I mean, he has been winning with a Chase Anderson over the years.
Sure.
He's been winning with a Wade Miley, probably resurrected his career.
Mm-hmm.
He's been winning with Zach Davies. You'd have thought he was the bat boy coming into the park.
He's been winning with Adrian Hauser across multitude of different roles.
He has been winning with younger dudes like Corbin Burnes last year down the stretch.
With Jacob Andrew Barnes.
Wow.
RIP, as Jacob Andrew Barnes was designated for assignment.
He was. I know that. But he made clear.
I feel bad. Maybe I shouldn't have brought that one up. He has been winning with Taylor Williams.
Yes. Mike Zagurski.
Wow.
Smith.
The Bert Smith one is the ridiculous one.
Yeah, that one I didn't
get. He sounds like a spruce tree.
Yeah. 799-1250 as the Brewers fall today, 5-3 final. And we're just getting your reaction here to Kenosha. We say hello to Mike. Mike, you're on the fan.
Hey, I got the Bert Smith bobblehead.
Did they make one?
No, I'm just kidding.
No, maybe somewhere along the minors they may have.
Hey, I'm fine with what the Brewers are doing. You know, I agree with all the callers. They got to get better at base running, small ball, in my opinion. You know, I'm a little worried that Hader's kind of going down the, Turnbull, the gas man, When they had all these closers that just kind of, they burned themselves out of kind of things, and they were, 3-year wonders or whatever. And then Davies, I'm worried about him. I'm interested in that center tomorrow because he I was at the Cincinnati game on Tuesday. He gave up four runs. Then he gave up four runs again against Chicago right away in the first inning.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to be spot on. He don't have speed. He's 89, 90 mile an hour top. So I'm a little concerned there, but just want to get your thoughts on that.
Date on Davies tomorrow?
Well, Davies and then, you know, about Hader. You know, the gas man, Axford, and Turnbull. We've had a lot of closers that just kind of faded away. And Davies tomorrow, too. I think tomorrow's a big deal for him. He's given up a lot of runs,
yeah.
You know, in the last two games.
No doubt he is.
Mike, I like you. I do.
He did just compare Josh Hader to Derek Turnbull.
He did. Right? I know that. You might as well throw in Jim Henderson right in there, too. So you want to throw Jim Henderson in there?
No.
Danny Kolb, Jim Henderson, John Axford.
I also wasn't going to bring it to the attention because I was just going to let it die with the bad takes that were earlier in the show. And there's a lot of passion, Tim. There's a lot of passion with Brewers fans, and that's what's cool about 105.7 FM, The Fan. We say The Fan in there because we allow the fans to be a voice, and we're fans as well with these microphones, and it's a lot of fun. Somebody said Francisco Rodriguez, K-Rod, as he's commonly referred to, flamed out. Francisco Rodriguez is going to find himself in the Hall of Fame. Josh Hader is closer to the career trajectory of a Francisco Rodriguez, much closer, than he is to that of a Derek Turnbow.
Way more.
I can say that with absolute certainty.
If Josh Hader, throughout his career, develops a changeup. Now, I don't know where that went. Do you remember we talked to him last year about that in spring training?
And that was the thing he was working on.
I don't know where that project is. If indeed they scrapped it, I'm not sure. But that would be devastating if he creates a changeup that just dances and falls.
It would be a total game changer. Timmy, do you want to go through some of these numbers, or are they going to make you too upset?
No, we're going to have to.
All right,
because
I will.
Today I like pain, so hurt me.
Okay, Laborers Local 113, Laborers International Union Local 113, Feel the Power online at liuna113.org, sponsors the box score, and it starts out poor for Yasmani Grandal, 0-for-3, does draw two walks. That on-base percentage, a staggering .375 for Yasmani Grandal. He led off in front of Christian Yelich, 1-for-5 with a run scored from Yelly. Keston Hira, 1-for-3 with a walk and a strikeout, as well as coming around to score one time. Mike Moustakas had a bunt base hit after a Keston Hira walk in the first inning, setting up the first run of the game. He was 2-for-5. Ryan Braun was 1-for-4, drove in that first run in the first, his only RBI, his only base hit of the day at .272. Average now for Brawny, 324 on base, but a .473 slugging. Brawny having a nice bounce back here, has RBI number 50 today.
Yeah, you like what Braun's doing, and you like where he's at here. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but Keston Hira in the 3 spot today, Brawny in the 5.
That's a heck of a run, a heck of a lineup that you're able to put out there. It's interesting to see what it would be once Lo Kane comes back into the fold, though, for that.
Yeah, and we thought he had the day off today.
He's back in there.
Lo Kane into center field as a replacement.
Eric Thames, 1-for-4 with a run scored, struck out twice. Travis Shaw, 0-for-3 with a walk and 2 Ks. Orlando Arcia, 1-for-4. And Trent Grisham in his major league debut played center field, also a little bit of left. 1-for-3, did drive in a run on a sac fly and beat out a fielder's choice. He's 0-for-3 today, but what did you see out of the 22-year-old?
I like him. He fell behind in the first at-bat, 0-2, but still got the ball in play. Unlike Travis Shaw, who fell down 0-2 in his first at-bat and just looked like child's play against Homer Bailey today. But he got the ball in play, and he got the ball in play in a situation, runners in scoring position, runner at third, less than two outs, got the sac fly, and that was big for him.
Chase Anderson deserved a better fate, kept his team in the ballgame across 6 innings of work. 2 hits, 3 walks, just 1 run scored. It was earned off a Chase Anderson home run. But 3 walks, 5 Ks against Chase earlier today. Junior Guerra, 1 inning. He gives up a hit, a walk, and a run. Josh Hader, 1/3 inning of work as he gives up a hit. 2 runs, they were both earned on a walk right in front of Matt Chapman, who would hit the 2-run shot to give the A's the lead there in the 8th inning. And then Jay Jackson, 2/3 of an inning, 2 hits. one run. It was earned, and a strikeout from my man Jay Jackson. The A's win the series and the game 5-3. Five runs, six hits, one error for the A's and the Brewers. Three runs, seven hits, no errors, and now 57-53. On the road, though, Tim, 24-29.
And this hour on the Fan is brought to you by Bayview Shade and Blind, providing the highest quality window fashion since 1926. Find out more at BayviewShade.com. Let's squeeze in one more before the break here, and we say hello to Jim. Jim, you're on the Fan. Brewers fall 5-3.
Hi, Tim. I want to talk about the seventh inning. They don't have anybody to pitch the seventh inning. Jeffries can't pitch an inning without giving up a run, and today they trotted out Guerra for the third time in a row, and he gave up a run. There's nobody to pitch the seventh inning. I mean, you can talk about Hader all you want, but they don't have anybody to get to him.
They are a little shaky in that seventh right now. Junior Guerra and Jeremy Jeffress have shown throughout this season that they can get hot, but when they're both down at the same time, when they're both uncomfortable, if you will, at the same time, that's a tough situation to be in.
Yeah, and if they don't win this year, it's going to be the Dunn Club for several years after that, because they won't have Grandal or Moustakas next year. They can't afford to pay them.
We are rolling along. Jim, thank you. We just got the next Dunn Club for the 2020 season. We have to take a break because I'm going to step outside and have a cigarette and just chill for a little bit. Can
Thank
I?
Goodness. Please. Please do.
No, it's not me.
You're mean.
No.
You're mad today.
I don't like it. It's not necessarily me today. There is some emotion flying around Milwaukee today. Dunn Club. Sorry.
I cheated him out of another year.
He said the next couple of years. So
this is an interesting one, Tim.
Hey, raise your glass to 2022's championship season.
I want to read this. This is from Tom. He says, Bill, it's been 37 years since the last World Series in Milwaukee in 1982. I was 20 years old. I have suffered longer than most of you. I see no evidence that they can do anything in this season. Wow.
You don't see a pennant race as Exhibit A?
Man, that is sad. That hurts.
I think we need to have a little sidebar. This court is going to adjourn and recess for just a short, brief period of time,
mm-hmm.
as we all, about as listeners and broadcasters, just sort of collective thought of just banding together and let's get our stuff together here. Can we do that?
I'm ready to go.
Okay. Well, I'll give a big radio hug during the break here. Okay.
Okay. I thought, is this a radio hug or are you going to go smoke a Marlboro?
Well, I'll just do that. Yeah, we'll do that, and we'll talk next. But a lot to get to. Craig Counsell, I can't wait to hear from Craig Counsell. He's next on The Fan.
So, what's the skipper got to say about this game? Let's find out. Here's the scoop from the skipper, brought to you by Bryant and Stratton College Athletics, offering athletic scholarships in 15 junior college sports. Learn more at bscbobcats.com. This is the only station Brewers fans need, before and after the game. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
5-3, Brewers fall in Game 3 of this three-game set in Oakland. And the turning point in this game, Josh Hader. I think we could say it's a turning point. It was going to be Chase Anderson in the first inning. He walks a man on four pitches to lead off the inning. He falls behind 3-0 in the count. And then comes back with a strike him out, throw him out, double play.
I don't know if you could have expected Chase Anderson to be much better than he's been all year long. Like, coming into the season, you were going to tell me that Chase Anderson was going to only be in the bullpen for, what, 2 weeks? When he made the drastic change to go out of the starting rotation into the bullpen. For me to think that he was going to make 18 starts, probably close to 25 starts for this team.
He's been outstanding.
And be under four of an ERA?
All told, he's been
really good.
He's an
absolute stabilizer for them this year. He's earned himself another contract, as he's needing one here at the end of the year.
Yeah, well, he's had another kid, too, and he needs the money.
He told you he needed a little extra money, Tim.
Turning point
brought
to you by...
That was one of my favorite things that I've ever heard any player ever
that's
say.
That's true.
And that's also topping one of the absolute favorite things I've ever heard a player say, and that was what Josh Jones said to our own Joe Zenzola earlier today at Packers training.
Yeah, if you didn't catch that, I'm sure you'll hear it tomorrow morning. Chuck and Winkler, they're going to be talking
you're
about
hear
that
it all week.
And more. Great Lakes Dragway with the turning point right there, and we just collectively band together to settle down a little bit. The Brewers are in a pennant race here. They certainly are, guys. And this whole Dunn Club thing, it's garbage.
Garbage.
It is a pennant race. And this one from the Wendy's inbox, live at 1057fmthefan.com. This one from Mark. This is good. Tim, instead of smoking a cigarette outside, chill out and smoke something else. That's from Mark.
Well, Tim.
We're not in Nevada.
We are not in Nevada.
Well, you will be tomorrow.
Where it actually is legal to partake in that kind of stuff. I don't necessarily know if this is like a smoke 'em if you got 'em kind of game, but this is one of those where this is going to sit with you for a little bit. This one's going to hurt.
Yeah, this is
so
tough.
Did Tuesday night. So did Sunday. They all hurt. It's a pennant race.
They do. And can the offense just pick up their end of the bargain here once in a while? 799-1250. You're going to hear from Counts in just a bit. Matt in Genesee, you're up next on the Fan.
All right, you ready for this?
I guess, yeah.
Baby Toast, love you. You did a great job filling in.
Uh-oh.
And you're a great Admirals announcer guy, too.
Oh, appreciate it, man.
You are the... All right, here we go. I am so sick of all the negative talk. People don't realize how many pitchers were down, injuries, and everything's negative about Council. And then what's his name? Rick Rich from Oshkosh, the only time he calls, it's negative talk.
Well, we've picked that up too, that's for sure.
Yeah, for sure. And with the whole hater thing, you got to try something first beforehand. He pitched three games in a row, hater. It is what it is. What do you know, you don't know until you try it.
Well, and you might have something there that we don't know. You're right. We don't know who was down in the pen, who wasn't feeling good, who had the flu, whose arm was sore. We don't know some of those things. We also don't know is that if Craig Counsell throughout the first 4 months of the season had pegged August 1st as unleashing of Josh Hader or near August 1st to give him a little bit more. We don't know that, and that may have been the plan.
Correct. That's why you try something before it's done. I mean, you got to try it first.
Yeah,
maybe
I'm always
work in the future. You don't know.
I'm open
obviously,
for
it
trying.
It didn't work tonight or today. Sorry,
that's for sure.
But
no, you're good.
You gotta work with it. It is what it is.
All right.
Like you always say, or you guys, the bats aren't working. They're not working. It is what it is. I mean. Yeah, we always rely on pitching. I mean, look at yesterday. Everybody's kind of knocking. Not everybody. A lot of people were knocking the pitcher we picked up. Look what he did. I mean, it was negative when not everybody's speaking negative, but it's like, oh, we got this guy. Well, look what he did yesterday.
Matt, I like you.
Jordan Lyles, I do too.
I like Matt.
Thanks for the call, buddy. Okay.
He also likes me because I'm an Admirals fan.
Well, that's for sure.
But, yeah, I love you guys. I listen to your station from 6 to 6 and beyond when there's a Brewer game during the day.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for everything you do. There he is, Matt. And,
you're welcome.
That's a nice radio
You're welcome.
Hug.
You know what? You're welcome.
You are welcome.
That's for sure.
That's a good radio hug right there.
Does that make you feel better?
It does.
Because usually we call our friend Bart Winkler for our radio hugs. I'm not calling Bart Winkler for a radio hug anytime soon.
You're mad at him now.
I'm not mad at him. Well, you heard it last night, right? It's more of just a frustration level to that. Because if there's a level of concern or frustration with the team, you hear it out of you and I.
Yes.
There wasn't a frustration because they weren't able to go out and get Zach Greinke from me. I'm sorry. I wasn't frustrated with the organization because they couldn't take on an extra $50 million and give away three guys that were top 50 picks in their respective drafts.
We have to consider this, that it's unfair to lump in 1976 with the 2019 Brewers.
That it is.
That's unfair.
But it's also fair to count that when you look at what David Stearns has done and understand that Craig Counsell and David Stearns are pacing to have one of the most successful, if not the most successful, wins and losses wise, best 3-year stretch this organization has ever seen.
That started with Doug Melvin, and it's moving on with Council and Stearns.
Okay. Now, I don't want to do that. Never mind. I'm not going to do that.
Do it.
No, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it because all I do is look like the jerk. Can we not pin Doug Melvin as the gold standard of general managers?
I agree with you, but he did sort of get the ball rolling.
He got it
with
rolling.
At least some significance,
yes,
in Milwaukee baseball.
He changed, right, the narrative of Brewers baseball. But he is not Doug Melvin.
True.
Is not.
True.
Brian Cashman.
I like Doug Melvin, though.
I really do. He's a great dude.
He is.
Great interview.
Wah, 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 wah. He always reminds me of the Penguin.
I hate to break this. And I sound like a jerk because Stevie gets all mad at me. But he's always like, well, Doug Melvin told me this about this trade deadline back. I was like, I don't want to do this. But can somebody tell me when Doug Melvin won a World Series?
True.
That's the only one that I remember.
But this organization, this franchise,
yes,
has been down,
yes,
so many years that he was given the gold star treatment because it was a playoff drought that was broken in 2008. 26-year drought that was broken in 2008. More significant, the 2011 season of the NLCS and getting a couple of games from the World Series.
The first time in 37 years.
Back-to-back.
That this team would go back-to-back playoff appearances.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You're going to close in on 40 years, four decades since doing it, if you miss the playoffs this year.
But it's, and I hate to use the term too, but it's true. It's relevant playoff pennant race baseball right now in,
yes,
Milwaukee.
That's for sure.
Every year. It is. It was going back to 2017, the turnaround that took basically less than two calendar months. The rebuild, if you will, the retool, less than two calendar years. I'm sorry, months. That would have been a quick turnaround. Two calendar years. Significant baseball, pennant race baseball in 17, 18, and here in 19. It won't change next year under Stearns and Council. Are you confident in that?
Absolutely. I'm confident that this team and this organization is not going to see 10 games under 500 in the next 5 years. Like, I'm confident this team is going to be at least a 500 ball,
yeah,
club,
yep,
for the next 5 years. And if that is that good enough? No. You want to be in contention to win a World Series. Yes, and every team's goal is that. But they have given themselves to have multiple opportunities at it, multiple cracks at it. You're rebuilding while competing, Tim. Here's the best example of it. Today, the day after the MLB trade deadline, the Brewers don't go and make out that splashy move that everybody wanted. But what did they do? They brought up a former first-round pick, mm-hmm, at 22 years old. They started two guys today.
That's part of that
rebuild.
Two
dudes that are 22 years old.
That's part of that rebuild slash competing at the same,
yeah,
time.
And happy birthday to Keston Hira. He'll turn 23 tomorrow.
There you go.
Now, that's some happy news. That's some forward.
We'll get to that in a bit, but still, they call it Wauwatosa. What's Wauwatosa known for? We asked Bob that. Bob, what's on your mind?
Hey, guys. I've been sitting here listening to the show, and I've been kind of biting my tongue, but all these people are calling in with all these suggestions and answers after the fact just make me want to puke. All right? I'll be honest with you. I didn't like the outcome. I got pissed off. PO'd, I'm sorry.
You're all right.
And but I'll be honest with you, when Hader came in, I went, well, I guess we're learning if he can do 3 days in a row. Well, guess what? It didn't work out. But you know what? I would have done the same thing. And I just, these armchair general managers who always comment after the fact, that's pretty easy to do, but I can honestly look in the mirror and say, hey, I had no problem with bringing Hader in there. The bullpen was leaking at the seems today. I mean, Guerra's been giving up runs lately. I mean, there's not a lot of trust in that bullpen. Maybe Pomeranz can help shape, change that a little bit. But for all these people that are calling in and saying they're in the all done club, that's all I got to say about that, because it's easy to second guess after the fact. Why don't you guys call during the game and say, hey, this is a good move. Hater. Oh, man, yeah. I don't know why they brought Hater
Twitter
in.
Twitter's a powerful tool in that regard. It's time and date stamped, so you can be a swami before the fact.
Yeah, yeah. And I to your point when I was listening, waiting to get on with you guys, I also think you have to include Harry Dalton in the gold standard of general managers, because what he did in the late 70s with Bambi and all those guys into the 80s, that truly was an unbelievable development. And that was only 7 years into the franchise's existence.
True,
you know?
True.
Right, so, no, Harry Dalton is the number one general manager in Brewers history.
He was just not placed in that position at the right time in baseball history, because had he been... Right. Look at how many chances the Brewers would have had. You guys got to remember, the Brewers played in the East back then, the AL East.
Yeah, they were going up against the Red Sox and Yankees, right. And Blue Jays were a freight train. And,
absolutely.
And had they had the wild card back then, the Brewers would have been in the playoffs. I believe it was five more years, because they had like one of the top records. They would have qualified as a wild card contender when they were in the old East.
But you do understand, though, Bob, as much as we agree with you in that this whole Dunn Club thing is ridiculous, we do get frustrated with losses like this. It's okay. But to say that I'm not going to watch any more Brewers baseball, that's just nonsense. It is. You're talking about your favorite team. You're talking about your favorite baseball team. You're going to love them, win, lose, or draw, right? That doesn't mean you can't be disappointed in a loss.
I mean, you got to remember, we almost lost this ball club. Miller Park does not get built. We don't even have a team. And I remember, because I used to be the FedEx guy in that area around Miller, when they were building Miller Park, and all these people were ripping on, I don't know why we're building a ballpark for these millionaire ball players. And I tried to explain to them that you're going to realize attendance, unlike anything you've ever seen, and it used to be a big deal when the Brewers drew a million. Well, now we're on the cusp of $3 million yearly, and that means you can spend more money to get better players.
Okay, Bob, good call. Thanks for the call, providing some sanity today.
We've needed some sanity. It's been a wild show.
Well, to give up on, I just don't understand. Like years ago, there's somebody we work with that decided that they were no longer a Packer fan, and I'm just going to be a Colts fan. Just one day.
Just one day decided they were done being a Packers fan.
I don't know how you do that. You can't do that. Right? No. Is it inside of you to do that? You can't do that. So you're talking about my quarterback. That's my quarterback. That's my favorite team. Right?
Yeah, I know the Cowboys are.
No, not the Cowboys. The Brewers.
Oh, sorry.
Because this is a baseball show.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the Brewers are your favorite team.
Yeah. So, but it's okay to be frustrated and upset and disappointed with a loss. But that doesn't change the landscape of a pennant race, which is 52 games running here left in the regular season. I say regular season because I anticipate that they're going to win the National League Central this year. This year.
You believe that they will win the NL Central this year.
I do, because they're flying under the radar. Nobody believes in their starting pitching at all.
Not even a little bit.
Not at all. And everyone's saying, well, okay, how are you going to go up against these guys over here? Well, you know what? They're in every game. That's for sure. Offense, you pick it up. And they could get on a run of substantial performance. They could get on. Billy, you know that if they start hitting, they could get on a run of 11 of 14, like that.
I'm just glad you gave me the advice, because I've been contemplating if I was going to make that bet while I get out to the desert this week. Do I believe that they are going to win this division? I've thought that they were going to win the division since about the middle of May. And if you remember, we were in here after opening day. I was the only guy to predict that they were going to win 86 games and not make the playoffs. I saw what a struggle it was for them to get through where they are. And they're still right in this thing. And they are much better than what they've played all year long.
And there's a ceiling there. There is, and we all know it. They are underachieving. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely.
They're underachieving. It's okay.
But we're talking about playoff-relevant baseball while the Hall of Fame game is going on.
Right.
While football is happening.
I got a big old tall can of beer to enjoy tonight on my ride home. I wouldn't condone drinking and driving. Riding and driving. riding and drinking.
Well, you know that is still illegal.
Riding and drinking?
Yes. That is an open intoxicant law.
Oh, I didn't know that.
No, that's still highly illegal.
That's too bad you told me that.
Awesome.
Well, then I could plead ignorance.
I'm also very glad that I'm going to be the one driving. So that's great. Thanks. Appreciate it.
All right. Bill, before we get to Craig Council, you get a couple minutes here. We're very late for a break here. Bill, what's on your mind?
Well, I was just going to say Bob took some of my thunder. I can remember, I go back to when the Brewers first moved into Milwaukee. In fact, did you know that the Milwaukee Braves were never under 500 all the while they were in Milwaukee? Mm-hmm.
Didn't know that. I did not know.
Yeah, some baseball story you are.
Right. But it's like this is not a terrible. I'm very disappointed with the loss today. But they, no matter what happened today, there's still going to be only two games out of first place.
Yep.
After the Cardinals and Cubs get done beating each other's brains out. And this team has not played their best baseball at all yet. And I'm thinking back last year about this time, it seemed as despairing then as it does now. And look at the run they went on. So
they did.
It's in them, and I think they're going to do that.
All right, so, Bill. Thank you. Thank you, Bill, from Iron Ridge?
Iron River.
Iron River. All right, 799-1250, you want to join the conversation. Brewers do fall tonight, 5-3 final. They're on their way to Chicago right now, three-game set against the Cubs, fires up tomorrow, three consecutive day games. That is going to be interesting at Wrigley Field. I lose a couple of more months off my life because it is a Cub-Brewer matchup. So a lot to get to over the weekend, starting tomorrow, Cubs and Brewers. Craig Council, he's going to do some mop-up duty for us, and we'll hear from him next on The Fan.
Now, here's the behind-the-scenes post-game update as we take you inside the clubhouse. You're listening to the Bayview Shade and Blind Baseball Post-Game Show, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All right, let's hear from manager Craig Council as the Brewers fall 5-3. And bullpen management, one of the most debated things in all of sports talk radio.
It always has been, Tim, across markets. But are we lucky that we live in a market where you can debate what the manager's decision was?
Yes.
Like, that would be boring to live in some of these places. Like, you can't do that in L.A. sports talk radio. Nobody cares that much. We care that much in Milwaukee that we're second-guessing every move that this guy makes, especially when it results in a loss like today.
One of the great things about baseball is the debate. I just love it, love it, love it. Let's hear Craig Council after his team falls in Game 3.
Yeah, I mean, it was just Josh was going to have the 8th, Freddie was going to pitch the 9th. Really kind of function of their best hitters were coming up. Put Josh against those guys, and Olsen was coming up too. It's a tough inning for Freddie with the two lefties and Grossman being really good at, you know, balls and strikes. So that was the plan. It just Josh didn't make pitches today, you know, unfortunately.
Was it the low pitch counts the previous 2 days that you left confident that he could?
Yeah, he had low pitch counts. Came in today feeling really good. It's something we've been working towards on the shorter stints with him. And he said he felt good. We talked to him and felt good and just didn't work. I thought his stuff was good. He just missed a couple of pitches.
What did you think about that pitch to Chapman? It looked down, but that's, you know, it's a good hitter, obviously.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, with Josh, up is better, yeah. You know, and that's where he wants it. So Chapman, you know, we've done a really good job with Chapman all series, and you just got to pitch down kind of where he can handle it.
Previously, I thought you'd said with him, it's not necessarily the pitch counts back-to-back, but it's just the going back-to-back. His arm didn't, like, different pitchers respond differently. Has that changed for him that you're more confident now in three in a row?
Well, I want, like I said before, Josh pitching is what we want, so we're always going to try to find spots for him. And so today was, this was a day where the low pitch counts the previous 2 days, you know, his workload the previous 2 days was as low as we've seen in back-to-back appearances. And so that's why he felt good today and was able to go. So that's kind of the genesis of it.
Does this hurt you? I mean, obviously you can't probably use him tomorrow. Do you know yet how much this might cost you for this next series? Like, you're using three in a row, or you're sacrificing him for...
Well, we're winning the game. I mean, that's how it works. I mean, you're trying to win the games. We had a game that we could win. We put them in the game. That's what we're. That's how it works. Yeah. When you, any games you lose late, they hurt. Yeah.
Was it a frustrating day offensively? It seemed like there was some opportunity.
Yeah. I mean, again, you know, we've got to put more runs on the board. I mean, you know, we've got chances today. We put chances together. Just didn't get a hit. We're capable of doing better offensively, and I think we can, and we're going to have to do better offensively. We're making it really hard on ourselves. The big innings aren't happening, and it's just it is a hit here and a hit there that makes it happen, especially in a day like today. But we're making it with very little margin for error when you don't do it, right? And so you're going to have games like this.
What about how Chase threw the ball and just overall what the starting rotation gave you in this series?
Yeah, Chase was excellent. Probably the key to the game to me was the first inning. He started off six balls in a row and kind of fought back on Grossman, and then we get to strike him out, throw him out on a check swing, and then he was kind of off, I felt like, took off after that. So threw the ball well. Threw six. I thought he threw the ball really well.
We talked about this a little yesterday, but just the stabilization of those guys that look like now they're doing those runs kind of feeding on the starters.
Yeah, I mean, we did a good job. We pitched well this series. Everybody pitched well this series. We did a nice job. Like I said, just creating space in these games when we had opportunity, we didn't do that. And I think in the end, that's what ended up costing us a couple of games.
That spot where the lefties are up in the eighth, is that a spot where Pomerantz eventually might help give you another option there? Was it here you really wanted Hader because it's the heart of the order?
Yeah, I mean, it's Grossman's a switch hitter, and Chapman's just their best hitter, and then Olsen's the lefty, so... I wanted to use my best pitcher against the best part of their lineup. And we'll continue to do that. I think it made sense for Freddie in the next inning with who he was going to get to face. It just didn't work. I'd do it again. It just didn't work today.
Wow, there it is, Craig Counsell. They were setting things up for Freddie Peralta in that ninth inning.
I like the honesty. Craig said, "Dude, I want and." He's gotten this a few different times, and I love his answer to it. I want Josh to pitch. Don't get this twisted, guys. I like when Josh Hader pitches. That's what he keeps saying. I like using Josh Hader. I really do.
Intentionally trying to keep him from pitching.
But I want to put them in the best position to succeed. He believed that today was the best position for him to succeed. We just hadn't seen it yet. If he can live with it and he likes his decision, then it was a good decision.
And he was spot on with the offense, and that was part of the conversation today on the show.
No doubt.
Was the offense that got to score runs, need to score more runs.
And
quite frankly, as he said it, we're going to have to.
Quite telling, too, that it was Freddie Peralta once again lined up for. Not necessarily the ninth inning for Josh, but the best hitters. They're in that position, Tim. They're getting closer and closer to having him in that position where they want him.
Okay, you are off to Vegas for a couple of nights.
I'm gone. Out tomorrow morning. Like you, I'm the first thing moving. I know you love to be the first thing moving right on the tarmac out to Vegas.
For sure. And we'll have a good time, and then I'll give you some cash here to lay down some more money on the Brewers for me.
Oh, is that what you're going to do?
Well, and then a football bet.
Okay.
Or two.
Sorry, dude. Without Zeke, the Cowboys are not winning the Super Bowl.
I was thinking week one NFL line has the Philadelphia Eagles -8 against the Washington Redskins.
Okay. I can do that.
All
nice.
Day long, Philly. All day long. They win by 15.
Now, you're going out in October.
I am.
So if we win this week one back, because I'm going to do that as well. I like that move. So then you'll just cash it in, and then I'll get... that reinvested into either the Milwaukee Brewers next year or
the Bucks. Could go Bucks.
It's tough because the Bucks odds are just they're not that appetizing.
58.5 over and under.
Did you see the guy that put a $100,000 bet.
To win $2,000?
To win $2,000 on the 76ers to make the playoffs.
That's a little risky. I mean, to make $2,000. You got enough money to place $100,000, and your reward is $2,000. Pick something else to bet on.
Yeah, or do something different and like maybe go put it in like a certified deposit.
For about 5 years.
And that would help. That would be better than your $2,000 that you're getting from the William Hill.
After the last pitch tomorrow, make the switch. We're going to be talking Brewers and Cubs and certainly the preview of that series all day long here on The Fan. Chuck and Winkler, Bill Michaels and the Wendy's Big Show. And tomorrow evening, hopefully talking about a Brewers victory over the Cubs in Game 1. Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show.
I am going to bet the Brewers tomorrow against the Cubs.
By the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag Admirals50. I like it.
With Davies on the mound, though, is it the over or the under? It's a Brewers-Cub game, so I'm leaning under. But Zach Davies did just give up 7 runs against that team and made Kyle Schwarber look like Babe Ruth.
And you don't know where the wind is coming from either tomorrow.
Well, I'm going to call you from the Allen weather deck.
Okay.
Before I place my bet over
got
at the lake.
Old Doppler ready to go. For Evan Heffelfinger, yes, that's his name, Baby Tiles Bill Schmidt. My name is Tim Allen. You guys have a great night. We'll talk to you after the game tomorrow. And remember, despite the outcome today, smile, Milwaukee. The world will smile back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.